What I'll do as chair of this panel debate is give you a bit more information in relation to each of the panellists, and then each of the panellists will give a short period of time to make some opening remarks, and then I have a number of questions that have been sent through from people, and if you want to ask questions, there will be speaker cards available for you to put those down and to send those up, and I'm sure some of the stewards which are going around to be able to facilitate that. The first person on our panel doesn't need much introduction. It's Chris Little, is our MLA for East Belfast, and Chris will make the opening remarks on behalf of the party. We also have Bishop Donald McKeown from Derry. He attended St Magnesia's College in Garantar from 1961 to 68 before studying at Queen's University from 68 to 73, staying at the Diocesan Seminary in St Malachy's College. He was ordained as a priest in the dioceses of Down and Connor in July 1977, 1 year after I was born. He served as auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of Down and Connor from 2001 to 2014, and he was appointed to the current role in February, and he's trustee of the Council for the Catholic Maintained Schools and a former principal of St Malachy's College. A round of applause for Bishop Donald McKeown. We also have Tony Gallagher, who's the Queen's University Pro Vice-Chancellor. He joined Queen's as a lecturer in education in 1992. He was later appointed to a readership in 1995 and a chair in 1999. In 2005, he was appointed head of the School of Education, and he took up the post of Queen's University Pro Vice-Chancellor, Academic Planning, Staffing and External Relations in 2010. A round of applause for Tony. And the last person to join us very kindly on this panel for this debate is Noreen Campbell, and she's Chief Executive of NICE. She's founder parent and former Principal of Hazelwood Integrated College, Chief Executive of NICE since 2009, and has served on the Department of Education's Specialist Schools Panel and Queen's University Educational Advisory Panel. A round of applause to welcome Noreen. Before I hand over to Chris to do some opening remarks, and the rest of the panellists will then obviously do some opening remarks and we'll have some questions, maybe just give you a bit of an insight into terms of my educational background and my interest in relation to this matter. I'm someone who has a very complicated educational background and a very diverse educational background, and maybe that's why I'm a member of the Alliance Party. I was sent to a private preparatory school with significant fees every year. I went that for P1, P2 and P3. Mum and Dad got divorced and the money stopped flowing, so I left that private preparatory school. I went to a Catholic maintained primary school around the corner from me, a primary school very well known in Bangor for having a diverse intake. I found the education I got within St Malachy's Primary School very, very rewarding and very, very individualistic and very focused on myself, and I'm very, very grateful for that. As Mayor of North Down, I've had the privilege of going back to my primary school, first time since I left it when I was in P7, and it was great to see a school that's went from strength to strength, has a very strong enrolment and has that diverse enrolment from all sections of the community within a Catholic ethos, and I think that's something that that school should be warmly commended for in terms of achieving that in the face of adversity. And I remember the adversity that we faced, and one day I went back to school and we're told my classroom didn't exist, and I asked why, and it was been burnt down by loyalists and we were accommodated within a space of an hour in the staff room, and that shows the leadership and the commitment of the teachers within that. And then subsequent to that, I sat the 11 plus, as it was called. It was very obviously the situation's changed slightly in relation to that, and I got my mark through the post that day, and I got a mark and was told I failed. And I found that something that is something I find very difficult to ever support, that principle of academic selection. I found that the day I went to post-primary education, I sat on a bus with half of the school children that I had been with, and the other half weren't there, and I lost those friendships forevermore. I found that wrong, but I also found the school that I went to, which was St Columbanus College in Bangor, is somewhere that provided me with a very strong and very quality education. A school that has a diverse intake, so, and was able to welcome me as someone from both backgrounds, someone from a mixed marriage, and has been able to continue that work and continue to do that. But I'm also aware that other people, there's other choices within the education system, and within North Down, as Mayor of North Down, I've been very keen to support that school alongside other schools within the borough to ensure that they can provide that quality education. Because currently within North Down, we have two schools that are in dire need of a new build. One's in Conobannis College and the other one's Priory Integrated College. And those two schools deserve the full support and the full commitment from the Department of Education to give them those new builds, because I think that the environment from which you teach children should be the best quality environment ever possible, and for children who are coming from those diverse backgrounds, they deserve that. So that's my background, and that's my commitment to ensuring that education systems within Northern Ireland are quality and also allow people from all different backgrounds to be educated together, because I believe we should grow up together, we should be schooled together, and we should work together, and that's the vision I have as a society and as chair of the party. So I'll pass on to Chris to do his opening remarks.
Thanks, Andrew. Microphones are working okay, yeah? You're not here? Okay. Well, Andrew's kind of done my job for me to a certain extent there. But just on behalf of the party as well, I want to say thank you to fellow panellists today. I'm delighted on such an important issue of education and skills that we have such a diverse panel. I think the way forward in providing excellent education and skills in Northern Ireland will mean people from different backgrounds working together to try and create a shared and integrated system that provides high quality for all our children and young people. So I'm delighted that we have such an expert panel with us today. From my point of view and the Alliance Party point of view, I think an education and skills system fit for 21st century Northern Ireland has to be based on a shared and integrated system. I think it has to provide equality of educational opportunity for everyone, and it needs to provide a curriculum that provides young people with relevant and skills appropriate to their potential that they need to be able to survive and thrive in a diverse society and an increasingly globally competitive economy. I think we also need to start thinking of our education and skills system as a lifelong learning continuum, and to see how the different stages of that continuum connect together much better. We need a much more robust childcare and early years system. My understanding is that we invest around £600 per child in Northern Ireland in early years, and it's much closer to around £2,000 in Great Britain. And we also need much more advanced investment in our primary sector as well. As Andrew alluded to, we think that we need to address the transfer issue in a long-term sustainable way. It's clearly created confusion and difficulties for quite a lot of children and young people and parents, and it has not been one of the executive's shining engagements, unfortunately. I'm passionate about robust careers advice at secondary level. A lot of the children and young people who come to us for work experience consistently say that they could have much more better help from their careers guidance in their schools, and indeed the Employment and Learning Committee that I'm on at the Assembly conducted an inquiry into careers guidance and has made a number of recommendations that I'm glad the Minister for Employment and Learning earlier today mentioned that he will be taking into consideration for his full-scale review of careers guidance. I think there are also much more exciting ways that we can achieve parity of esteem across pathways at further education, higher education and apprenticeships. And I think there's some exciting partnerships that are taking place already between FE colleges and schools at secondary level. And indeed some exciting projects in alternative education provision. And it was my pleasure to meet some of the young people from the Include Youth Start programme today. That is a community and voluntary sector skills provision programme that was supported by the Minister for Employment and Learning through the Collaboration and Innovation Fund. So I think there's a lot of work to be done to ensure that our education and skills system is fit for purpose in the 21st century, but I think we have positive ways ahead, and I'm glad that we have Minister Farry as Minister for Employment and Learning working with people across a wide range of sectors in education provision in Northern Ireland.
Thanks very much, Chris. Who wants to go next? Who wants to go next? Go on, fight. Yes. Donald, do you want to? Yeah.
Okay, after all those men, I think it's time to have a woman's voice. Good afternoon, everyone, and I want to say how delighted I'm to be here this afternoon with the Alliance Party, because obviously there's a great synergy between the Alliance Party and what it stands for, and integrated education and what we stand for. When the First Parents started integrated schools more than 30 years ago, what they wanted to do was to create a model of education which was a model of the society they wanted to see. I believe the Alliance Party did the same in a system where your politics are tribal. The Alliance Party not only advances a few for a shared future, but it also models how that shared future can be achieved, in that you have people working together in mutual respect with acceptance of each other, and as well as saying this is how it should be for everyone, you're saying this is actually how easy it is for it to work. Similarly, in our integrated schools, as a norm, our children are educated together on a daily basis. Catholic, Protestant, boys, girls, full range of ability, newcomers, those who have no religion, those who have individual needs of whatever type. And they're educated together in an environment where we've heard the expression used of parity of esteem. They're educated in that environment of parity of esteem. They're encouraged and developed mutual respect. And they are modelling, in each of our 62 integrated schools, they are modelling what ought to be the norm for our society. And the challenge is to achieve that norm. And the challenge is to achieve it not in another 30 years' time, but to achieve it now. So I look forward to answering questions later.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Having been a school teacher for 23 years, I love debates about education because our young people deserve to get the best from us. We have some wonderful young people in this country, and they do deserve to have an education system in place that enables them to flourish as citizens, as contributors to the economy, and as people who are at ease with diversity, rather than, as so often has happened in the past, afraid of diversity. And Eamon Gilmore was very strong on the importance of celebrating and respecting different identities. I think the big challenge facing us in the Northern Ireland education system after the PISA report last year is how on earth do we actually increase the quality of outcomes for so many of our young people who are being abysmally failed by the system as we currently structure it. We will not be able to compete in a modern economy unless we really up our provision in terms of outcomes. We do exceptionally well at the top end, but we have far, far too many who are abysmally failed by the current system. So I think we're all keen, wherever we're coming from in Northern Ireland, to say, how can we work together to get quality outcomes? Not just quality inputs, but quality outcomes. Because the young people that we have deserve the best we can give them. And I think we haven't given them the best up until now.
Thanks, and thanks very much for the invitation to come along to participate in the panel session this afternoon. It's always a pleasure to come along and talk about education and to audiences like this. I suppose I just want to make a few quick comments. About 16, 17 years ago, I was very heavily involved in research into the impact or the effects of the selective system, and was very heavily involved for a number of years after that on the debate on the future of the organisation of post-primary schools. And of course, as Chris has already said, that particular debate in many senses has gone nowhere. In fact, what's worst about the current situation isn't even so much that we're still arguing about it, but we're actually not arguing about it anymore. We're not talking about it at all anymore, because no one seems to have any options or a preparedness to look at options for trying to resolve the current impasse. For the last 10 years or so, I've been involved in work on shared education, supporting collaborative networks of Protestant, Catholic and integrated schools. And there's been an unusually high level of political consensus, I think, has been achieved around that, and some interesting developments have happened, and I think that's an interesting route forward for the future. But in my role in the university, one of the things that we're acutely aware of is that, and this echoes some of the points that Donal has just made, we're acutely aware of the fact that in Northern Ireland we have little or no natural resources apart from our people. And because our people are our most important resource, it is massively important that we develop a knowledge economy here in Northern Ireland. And education is absolutely crucial to achieving a knowledge economy. But if you look at our education system, we have one of the most unequal patterns of outcomes across the OECD. We have too many young people who leave primary school with an inadequate level of literacy and numeracy. We have too many young people who finish 12 years of compulsory education who don't have enough qualifications that provides them with opportunities to live a fulfilled life as a citizen. To the extent that, and alongside that, we have a problem of a political impasse on a huge number of educational issues, with a logjam preventing serious discussion on a long, long list of issues. And I've got to the point now, I'm doing a bit of work with a number of different people in different forums, looking at this issue of inequality in education and patterns of low achievement. And I think we need to face up to the fact that we have a crisis in our education system, an absolute crisis around the patterns of inequality and underachievement. And we need to do something specifically right now about that problem. And forget about, in some senses, the big policy issues. If the politicians as a whole can't get their act together to solve some of the big policy issues, the big strategic issues, then at least do something to try and address the debilitating effect of low achievement and underachievement that is destroying the futures of generations of young people. That's something we can do something about right now, and that's what you should put on the table as a matter of urgency, because we need to do something now, because as time is going on, the life chances of those young people are being trashed, and it's our responsibility.
Okay, I've got a number of questions, and is it Ben's going around or someone's going around with a mic? So make sure when you're going to do your question, you have your mic, because otherwise you'll hear your question, but no one else will. And the first one's from Kenneth Miller from North Belfast. Is he about? Yeah. And it's about shared education and integrated education. Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew. I was just wondering what the panel thought about shared education and whether they see shared education as a stepping stone towards integrated education or as a compromise.
Who wants to take that first?
Okay, I'm very happy to take that first, because I think it's useful to be able to distinguish between integrated education and shared education. And integrated education, as I've said, is where it's full immersion sharing. Sharing is the norm, the daily routine, and it is the usual. Shared education is connecting different types of schools, bringing children together. And I think it's most important for several reasons. First of all, the development of the concept of shared education is a complete vindication for those people who developed the model of integrated education. Because when that movement started, people said, you could never educate children together. It will never happen. Now the absolute entitlement of young people to meet each other, at least for part of their education, is accepted and is now being promoted through shared education. And I think that's really important. And obviously, I think it's important that those young children at least have an opportunity to have meaningful contact with each other. Secondly, I think the other interesting side effect of the development of shared education has been a focus, an increased focus, on our segregated system. And as an outcome, really, education, integrated, shared, has not been off the political or the public agenda for the last number of years. And people are asking those questions, such as, well, is shared education EMU in a different form, or is it going to actually make a difference? Or why do we still have a system which is composed 90% of two big vested interests, as opposed to a system where educating together is the norm? And I think the visit of Obama really illustrated the tensions that have been brought to the surface because of the debate on shared education. So to actually now answer your question, will shared education lead to integrated education? I think if it is developed in a way which is genuinely meaningful and where there is sustained contact, and where that sustained contact is one based on best educational practice, then I think it will. And the reason I think it will is because it's what the students want. It's what the young people in the schools want. And the more the young people in the schools are mixing with each other, the more likely they're going to ask themselves, why are we boxed apart for 90% of the time when actually learning together 10% of the time works so well and is so productive and helps us to move? So I do think it certainly, done properly, ought to be a stepping stone to integrated education.
Tony, do you want to?
Yep. Obviously, I've been involved very heavily, as I say, in the work in shared education. Is it a stepping stone to integrated education? Is it an alternative to integrated education? I don't know the answer to that question. Integrated schools are great. Some of the things that happen in integrated schools are absolutely marvellous. And the integrated sector is one of those very, very rare examples of an entirely new sector of schools that's been created largely because of the commitment of parents. And there are very few places anywhere in the world where that has happened. And so the people involved in that, I think, have to be clearly applauded. But at the moment, the integrated sector comprises about 7% of the school-age population. And even the most optimistic advocates of integration don't see that number rising dramatically high, in the foreseeable future. And I want a plan that tries to connect young people, to connect our communities, for as close to 100% of young people as possible. And in some senses, that's why we started to do the work on shared education. I have nothing against the diversity of school types. I don't think a single school type rolled out everywhere is likely ever to be the solution to all of our education problems. So I'm quite happy with the diversity of school types. If you have a diversity of school types, particularly in denominational terms, then I think there's a responsibility falls on the leaders of those school systems to recognise some of the potential negative consequences of the silos that can be created. And what we've been doing in the shared education work is to recognise that there are institutional boundaries we put between young people, but to try and find ways of making those institutional boundaries porous and trying to connect people across those boundaries and bring young people shared between different schools, teachers moving between different schools. And the work we've been doing, I think, has suggested that not only does this have an impact on the young people, not only does this have an impact on the teachers and the parents, but it also has an impact on the local communities. So it's schools which in the past, in some respects, acted as a symbol of our difference, have become places in these collaborative networks where they're actually creating a new dynamic, a new set of relationships between local communities. And I think that's important. In the future, who knows? There are mechanisms for people to make choices about changing school types, and I'm quite happy for the people in the future to make those choices. It may well lead to a lot more integrated schools. It may not. I don't know. But I'm quite happy to leave that for the future. I don't want to be prescriptive about where that future is going at the present time. And one final point to make about shared education, which I think is often forgotten, but I think is very important. And it comes back to the earlier issue I was talking about around low achievement and underachievement. One of the growing realisations in many jurisdictions, in many countries, is that one of the key ways to try and tackle the whole issue of raising standards is to move beyond the idea that a single school can address all the challenges and issues that it's dealing with. If you build collaborative networks of schools, what you're doing is sharing practice, sharing ideas. You're opening people up to opportunities to question traditions and assumptions that they've often done for very many years. So collaborative networks of schools are actually part of the key to improving standards. So even if there were more integrated schools in the future, I would want those integrated schools themselves to be part of collaborative networks, because that is one of the ways we can help to lift the school system for everyone.
I suppose language is important, and I think in Northern Ireland we probably are getting beyond the stage now where we see some sort of dichotomy as being segregated education and integrated education. I was talking to a very senior Department of Education official recently. He said of the top most five most integrated schools in Northern Ireland, one is integrated. And of the bottom least integrated five schools in Northern Ireland, he says, one is integrated. So I think we've got to get beyond this notion that there are the integrated schools and the rest. There's a huge amount of integration going on in a whole range of schools. And George Bain, way back in 2006, recognised in his famous report that all sectors want to be involved in contributing to the integration of our society. So I think the language that we use about integrated and segregated is not helpful and actually doesn't reflect where much of our society is at present. I'm very keen to find all sorts of ways of sharing education, and I know Joanne Hughes, one of Tony's colleagues in Queen's, has done a lot of work on the effectiveness of sharing education in terms of its ability to touch large numbers of young people. So I'm excited about the prospect for the future. Recognise that parents make their own decisions, recognise that parents will always look for the best educational outcomes for their child, no matter what labels on a school. And therefore, I'm happy to be part of the journey of all of us together, recognising the benefits of diversity, seeking to ensure that diversity enriches us rather than threatens us. But I think we have to get beyond a simplistic binary notion that there's only integrated and segregated. It's much more complex than that. Thanks be to God.
Chris?
Thanks, Andrew. Parental choice is something that gets raised quite a lot whenever this question is asked, and it has been alluded to that at the current stage there's approximately 7% provision of integrated education, and yet consistently polls, surveys suggest that parental choice, parental demand, parental preference is much closer to around 70% for having children educated together. So it'll be no surprise to anyone here that I think we have a serious amount of work to do to actually meet that societal demand for our children to be educated together. I think the debate is increasingly being won that it is wrong for our children to be separated on the basis of religion and it's bad policy. So the question really is at what pace of change and what type of change? And I think there is significant research to show that collaboration, that meaningful contact between children being educated together, has significant positive educational outcomes. There is concern that some political parties may use the term shared education in a disingenuous way, and I think we need to interrogate and challenge what exactly is meant by that. If we mean two different sets of pupils going through school doors and going completely separate directions, albeit on the same campus without any type of meaningful contact, then that's not the type of shared education that I believe the Alliance Party will support in any way, shape or form. But there are examples where shared education programmes, many of which Queen's University have worked on, have shown an effective stepping stone to bring children together. But ultimately, we have people who have worked intensively in the integrated education sector. It was a pleasure for me to be involved in Integrated Education Week recently. I visited a number of schools, and it is fantastic to see the outcomes that are achieved whenever our children are educated together, and indeed being prepared for a society, a modern society that is increasingly diverse and is going to require our children and young people to be prepared for that society. And as Minister Farry mentioned earlier today, our further education colleges, our higher education colleges are fully integrated, and I think it is time that our political leaders stepped up to the mark in relation to this. And as part of the CSI talks, the Alliance Party put forward what I believe was a fairly modest proposal that we should aim for around 20% of integrated education in Northern Ireland, and unfortunately a newspaper that I hold in high regard led with a headline of the Alliance Party proposes the end to the Catholic education system the next day as a result of this proposal. So that gives you some insight into the sensitivities around this particular issue. I don't dispute that, but I do think, like many other policy issues in Northern Ireland, we have a long way to go before we see the type of change, the step forward that the Alliance Party would like to see.